Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. That song. Thanks for tuning in. Welcome to Hour 2 of Live the Promise. Glad to have you along today. Hope your day is going well. Well, if you just tuned in, you missed my conversation with Chip Ingram. Had a fabulous conversation about the culture that we live in and how to engage it in a Christ-like way. Talked about the content in his book, Culture Shock. So catch that on our website and get the podcast anytime, myfaithradio.com, and you can send that podcast out with a click of a button. Send it out Facebook, email, or Twitter. Well, I'm so blessed to have my good friend Dr. Greg Smalley on. We try to get him on every Wednesday, but I think it averages out to a couple Wednesdays a month with his crazy travel schedule. But, Greg, great to have you back.
It is always a joy and privilege to be here with you.
I don't think you mean that.
Did that sound sincere?
No.
Oh, Susie,
say it again.
That is so hurtful. It is wonderful
there
to be with you.
Thank
this
you.
This is great. Hey, that was a really good conversation too last hour.
Yeah, he's amazing.
So it made me feel inadequate.
Well, sorry about that, Greg. Well, you're going to be in your zone in this hour, so we're excited about our conversation. And we're going to unpack a little bit about spiritual leadership in the home, but as we always do, we'll take some relationship questions as well. But before we do that, we have been praying for your dad, Dr. Gary Smalley, and he had a major heart surgery. Can you give us an update?
Yeah, it was so interesting. He ended up having to have seven bypasses.
I didn't even know that was possible.
No, me neither. I heard of a quadruple bypass, and I didn't realize that was, possible. Leave it to my dad to overachieve. So he had the surgery. It went well. And then I spent about 10 days right after the surgery with him. And for a lot of it, it was just he and I. It was like we were roommates. And so once he got out of the hospital, then I was with him in the hotel room. And is this the funniest thing? I tell you, it's given me a whole different perspective of understanding what someone goes through to care for an elderly parent.
Oh, no kidding. That's big.
It's, yeah. So, I mean, boy, for those who are doing that right now, wow, you are a hero. You are studs and studettes. And that's amazing. But what an honor to be able to do that. But it was always laced and sort of mixed with this weird kind of, but you're my dad, but now I'm taking care of you and seeing you in the state. And yet it felt like I was caring for a toddler at times. We would, at the hospital, I'm helping him kind of walk around. So he's got his walker. And so he would go up to these different orderlies because he had a guy he really, really liked. The guy's name was Kevin. So he would go up to different people and go, Kevin, hey, it's my son. I want to introduce you to my son. And the guy's like, my name's Steve. Well, it's good to meet you. No, you're Kevin.
So
no, I'm Steve. And then when we were in the hotel room, I remember one time he couldn't, it was middle of the night, so he needed to get up and I wasn't waking up. So he takes the big honking remote from the television and just wings it at me. Just clobbers me with it. So I'm waking, I'm not sure what, I'm thinking we're being robbed and I'm being bludgeoned to death and, so it was him.
Yeah.
I forgave him.
You got a lot of stories to tell, I'm sure, from that
time.
Boy, that's great. And seeing the pictures of him smile, that is a major surgery. And just like him, to be smiling after, what a guy. That's great. And I agree with you, Greg, those who take care of their elderly parents are unsung heroes, because I think that is a Christ-like service for sure. Wow.
Mm. Indeed. It is. To be able to do that, to maybe have a full-time job and a family.
Yeah.
And that's where I was going, how would you do all that? So it got a little taste of that. And it was a blessing, and he's doing great.
Well, thank you for the update. We have been praying. And I know lots of different people who are in that stage where they're caring for their parents. Not one of them have told me a story of their parent winging a remote at them. So leave it to you. You probably deserve it.
You know, we like to be different.
You asked for it.
I was sleeping.
You did something
Maybe
wrong.
Maybe I was snoring. Who knows? Yeah. Are you okay? I just need to get up. Fine.
That's so
let's
sweet.
Get up.
Oh, here. I love it. Well, let's before we get into this topic, you know, I love to open conversations about Scripture. Wondering if there's a verse that God's been speaking to you about these days, or if you have a life verse you could share with us.
You know, the whole, I love the verse, serve wholeheartedly, the where that comes from out of the New Testament. I'm blinking my name, or my mind is blinking on that, but the, really the, this idea of serve wholeheartedly, because as a guy, what does that mean? So to serve my wife, part of that is, of course, is to lead her spiritually. And it's just been something I've been really thinking about, talking to some guys about. But for me, it's that idea of as I know Christ loved the church by giving his life. So this sacrificial servant, the service that he really did for the church. So it was, how do I do that? What does that really look like? And I just like that phrase, serve mm-hmm. wholeheartedly with every part of who I am, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, all of that. And so I think that I like that as a vision for what I want to do as a husband, who I want to show up as a father, as a, you know, coworker, as a boss, whatever. But especially it's been just weighing on my heart. What does that look like, though, specifically in that whole realm of spiritual leadership?
That's so good. And when I think of wholehearted, Greg, I think of engagement. Because, you know, being in the fitness world for so many years, the one indicator of somebody, even if they were showing up all the time, where they stopped to see changes, is they were disengaging. So they were going through the motions. You know what I'm saying? Where they weren't engaging their muscles. They weren't making big movements. They were just sort of walking through it by rote. And I think in any area of life, whether that's spiritually, relationally, whatever, when we go down autopilot, we disengage to some degree, that's when we stop. That's when we experience inertia, you know. And so let's talk a little bit about this whole idea of spiritual leadership. You and I have talked about it plenty before, and we both have some perspectives on it. But you just recently gave a message on this topic as well. So why don't you just start out by sharing why the topic came up and how you addressed it?
Yeah, Aaron and I were doing a marriage seminar last weekend. As we were doing the seminar, there was an opportunity for Aaron to go off with the women, kind of a women's only, you know, talk. And I'm sure, you know, all they wanted to talk about was probably sex, and that makes sense. But for me, so I had this opportunity to talk with the guys, and the coordinator of the seminar kind of started this whole thing off with going, you know, what I really want us to talk about is, what does it mean to be a spiritual leader, and how do we step up? And it hit me wrong. Great guy. So the seminar coordinator, great guy. It hit me wrong. Cause one, it implied they were not doing anything. So what do we need to do to step up? Which I think so many guys fear. That's a part of our fears, that one, we're not doing that, or we don't know how to do that. But if you just step up and start doing a better job, everything will be okay. So I think that's the fear of a guy showing up to a marriage seminar. And so I'm sitting in the session going, oh man, how am I gonna, you know,
not dishonor the host, but address.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just asked the guys, I said, let's have an honest conversation. When you hear that idea of spiritual leadership, what is the first thing that goes through your mind? And I wasn't sure what people would say, if these guys would even want to get into this. And I tell you what, that's all we talked about. I mean, we just went sort of guy by guy, and just to hear the pain, the confusion, the sense of inadequacy, the sense of failure, it just, I mean, it hit stuff up in me as I'm just hearing them just going, man, yeah, no, that's my job and that's my role. And I just, you know, I don't know how to do it. I've never seen it modeled. I'm afraid to try it because I don't want to mess anybody up. She's so strong, and I'm not sure she's even willing to follow me. And just you hear these things over and over and over. And that's, as you and I were talking earlier about, you know, what do we want to talk about? Just coming off of that fresh experience with these guys and just seeing the pain. But at the same time, really having some honest dialogue around, what does that really mean? Let's put this into a real practical sense.
Yeah, and you and I both interviewed Shanti Feldheim before, and one of the most startling points that she has come up with is that men would rather feel competent than loved. If they had to choose, you know, they don't want to be made to feel incompetent. So it's rather, right. I want to build you up so I believe in you versus, you know, I love you. And they want to be loved, but we got to honor them. And so I can sure see how we as women set you up to fail if we start out having an unrealistic expectation of what that looks like. And already then you're feeling incompetent. So what do? You don't try at all. And then disappointment just is even greater still. And I know you've seen that as well, haven't you?
I've experienced that. This was so hard for me early on in my marriage. You know, Aaron and I have been married 23 years now, I think. 23.
Yeah, and you should know that.
Yeah. You'd think.
You need a little more time.
Well, when my dad hit me in the head with the remote, something happened.
That's fair.
So I've lost a lot of information. So it's good to be on the show with you, Peggy. But, you know, early on in my marriage, I married such an amazing woman, mm-hmm. so strong, so independent, just, and that created just a very difficult dynamic. Here, I think she longed to come into a marriage, and now I've found a Christian husband and who's going to meet my spiritual needs, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how that looked, and especially the things that I really like to do in terms of walking out my relationship with the Lord wasn't necessarily things that maybe she valued or saw as legitimate or saw as key. They certainly weren't the things that she needed. And instead of kind of talking about this, I think we both just suffered a little bit. Her feeling disappointed and feeling cheated maybe a little bit. Definitely expectations were very different than what I was doing. At the same time, I could sense that, and so it made me shut down. I started feeling failed. I started feeling inadequate because the model that I had was Gary Smalley, you know, and before the seven bypasses, I mean, this is a spiritual giant. This is the guy in the marriage world. I have such vivid memories of waking up, walking down when I was little and seeing my dad with his Bible, maybe on his knees praying, just reading, just absorbing, meditating on the word. And it was great to see modeled. Very hard as a young husband to feel that I could possibly even measure up to that. Now you add in that Aaron and I were experiencing some conflict. So, there were a lot of times that our hearts were shut to each other. And when people are shut down to each other, I didn't necessarily have the desire to have that kind of spiritual intimacy with someone that I was frustrated with. I mean, all of that. There were a lot going on.
Well, and it is a proven fact that men will gravitate towards things that they can feel successful in. And so if you think that you're flanked by this dad who's known all over the world and a woman who's a godly, strong woman, and you're still not fully developed in your spiritual walk. Are we ever till we see Jesus? But you're a young man, so you've got some seasoning still to do, just like your dad had to do in his early years. But you sure can see how that enemy would use that against you and make you feel like you're failing before you ever even start. And so we're going to unpack that a little bit more. I've got Dr. Greg Smalley on the show today talking about spiritual leadership, but we're not stuck there. If you've got some relationship questions, we got Greg on live. Now is the time to give us a call. 877-933-2484. 877 933-2484. You can email me your question as well, Susie@myfaithradio.com. We've got some Greg Smalley resources to give away. Give us a call. Get on the air. 877-933-2484. We'll be right back.
If you're single and you're looking for a really godly relationship or a relationship focused on God and dating, how do you make it clear to other people that you're not just interested in a very normal, like, secular relationship?
Wow, that's a great question. We're going to get to that in just a moment, Greg. I wrote it down for you so we can kind of come back to it. But we're talking about spiritual leadership and in the home. And before you get into, you know, so before the break, you were setting up just early in marriage, kind of flanked by this spiritual giant of a dad who you saw on his knees reading scripture and this godly, wonderful woman who wanted a spiritual relationship with you, but you guys are new in your marriage. On this side, I just want to tell you, as a young woman who is also very passionate about the word, I felt an incredible disappointment that Kevin wasn't equally as passionate, you know? Mm-hmm. I wanted to see him, you know, run after God, and I wanted to chase after him. And I remember the day, and I've shared this with you before, when God just spoke to my heart and said, passion does not equate to spiritual maturity, love does. And he's got virtue all day long in that area. And I was just schooled by that. I really was, because you can be worshiping your face off at church and go home and dishonor your family or gossip to your friend. You know, passion is great if it's equipped with love. And I just thought that was my first step, Greg, in understanding this is going to look different on him because he's a different person, but I'm going to want his strength the way that God wired him. How did you come into your own where you thought, okay, like David and Saul's armor, this doesn't fit me. I'm not my dad. I love my dad, but I'm not my dad. How did you come into your own spiritual leadership in the context of your marriage and family?
What's very interesting is I had to get to the same realization that you were just talking about, that what does spiritual leadership really look like? I love John Piper's definition. And let me just read this quote. He says that he defines spiritual leadership as knowing where God wants people to be and then taking the initiative to use God's methods to get them there in reliance upon God's power.
That's great.
It was great. And as I look back, there were elements of that I really started to learn. And what you just said, this whole idea about love. See, I think that I saw spiritual leadership or even our spiritual relationship almost as a separate part of our relationship, maybe a bolt-on. We've got to do all these things. One is spiritual relationship. And so I almost created a silo to where, well, every once in a while or, you know, throughout the day, we need to kind of feed into that silo. I don't think that's what it is at all. I think for me, when I started to come into my own is when I realized that as John Piper said it, it's knowing where God wants people to be. What are we here for? I believe, to simply put it, that our destiny is love. So Susie, is what you just said, mm-hmm. that men, as it says in John 13:34-35, men will know you're my disciples by the way you what? By the way you love. It's not by, you know, all these spiritual things that you do. Those are good and those are important in discipleship, in becoming more like Christ, all those things. You know, how we walk out our spirituality is so important, but I think that it has to start with this idea that of all things, love is our destiny. That's why we've been put on this earth to love God, to love others as we love ourselves. And I think that I had to begin to realize that, hey, as I'm loving my wife, as I'm serving her and sacrificing for her, as I'm loving her with all of my heart, that's a huge first step in being a spiritual leader. I never equated it with that.
Isn't that amazing? And that's an offering, isn't it?
It is. And so it was, I dismissed, minimized the ways in which that I was really focused on loving her and just thought, well, that's over here. But now if I could only be a spiritual leader over on this side. And that was my problem. I really misunderstood what it meant. And I had all these preconceived notions of thus what would be the evidence if I was actually the spiritual leader.
And we as women do the very same thing, because we might have a loving husband and we might compartmentalize it as well. Well, yes, he's patient. Yes, he's kind. Yes, he's gentle. All the things scripture says love is. But he's not spiritually leading me. And we completely discount the fact that he's loving me is a part of spiritual leadership. So I think this is such an important topic. And we invited your calls, so I want you to know we're going to jump off topic every once in a while. If you've got a question, like Angela's calling in from St. Paul, Greg, and she's got a question for you. Angela, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My issue is that I converted to Christianity after I was married. And I was raised a Jehovah's Witness, and so my sister actually doesn't accept my marriage at all. And my husband and I, we did have a lot of issues in the beginning of our marriage, some abuse issues. We've worked through a lot of things. And, you know, he was raised Catholic, but he's more of a traditional Catholic. He doesn't, it does not apply in his practical life to, you know, in his spirituality, but I have a lot of hope for him, and I do try to, you know, allow him to lead. But, you know, it's a difficult position to be in, where God expects you to forgive your family members, and, you know, but they don't accept you or your marriage, you know? So I'm kind of just wondering where I should turn.
That's painful. What do you say, Greg?
Yeah, Angela, that is hard. And we want our family to accept us, to accept our marriage. You know, the bottom line is there's a great verse in Galatians, and I think it's Galatians 1:10, that basically says, are we trying to please man or are we trying to please God? And what I like about that verse is it always sort of, I can ask that question, okay, in this moment, who am I really trying to please? Oh, yeah, that's right. My job is to please the Lord. And how does the Lord feel about your marriage? It's His idea. He created marriage. He has ordained that. That is a covenant relationship that He has established. And so the cool part is that here you have your Father in heaven smiling down upon you and your husband in your marriage. And His desire is to use your marriage to grow you both more like His Son. He wants to use your marriage as the very, very best, I think, evangelistic tool that we have. You know, as people see how my wife and I, and again, we're not perfect. Ask Susie, she's seen us together, so we're not perfect. But you know, when Aaron and I are loving each other in glorifying the God through our relationship, that's a light. That's evidence that Christ makes a difference. God wants Christ in you to make a difference in how you love your husband and how you love, period. And I know it would be great if our family accepted all that, but you know what? At the end of the day, you will lead them into a better understanding of the Lord simply by your actions. And so your job is to love. You love that you keep loving them. Doesn't matter if they accept your marriage or not. You will keep loving. You keep loving Him. Your job is to grow within your relationship with Christ. And just model and live out God's truth in that light is what influences all those relationships. So I, you know, Angela, I wish, that they were a source of support and encouragement within your relationship, because you're hard. Marriage, you were right. Mm-hmm. Marriage is not easy all the time. It's amazing. It's hard. And too bad that she's not a better support system for you. But you know what? You make sure you've got a great support system of Christian women who love you, love your marriage, and you just keep walking out what you believe God is calling you to do. And I tell you what, you are showing people Christ's love through how you're loving your husband and your marriage, and that's an amazing thing.
Right. Thank you.
Angela, God bless you, and thanks so much for calling in. And just Angela's question, Greg, is such a reminder of how important, would you say this all the time, is to care for our hearts, because we get bumped around, we have conflict, and all those things, if we're not careful, they get in, and then they impact our reactions. And so for her to do what you're saying, to love her family, love her husband, love herself, love the Lord, that really takes some careful tending of her heart, doesn't it?
It really does, and it's easy to feel alone in there, mm-hmm. and that's what she has to really guard against, is feeling alone in that whole process.
Well, so blessed to have my friend Dr. Greg Smalley on today. We welcome your questions, your relationship questions, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. When we come back, we'll pick up our discussion about spiritual leadership in the home, unless, of course, you've got something else you want to talk about. We'd love to hear from you. You can email me to Susie@myfaithradio.com. More with Greg Smalley in just a moment. for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. If you missed hour one, I talked to Chip Ingram about our culture and how we respond in a biblical, winsome way. Catch that podcast on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. So blessed to have my good friend, Dr. Greg Smalley, talking on the second hour today. We're taking your relationship questions if you have them, but also just having a great conversation about spiritual leadership in the home. And both men and women, we've had a kind of an unrealistic picture about what that looks like, and it creates an atmosphere for unbelievable disappointment and discord, and it doesn't need to be that way. 877-933-2484. Call us with your questions. 877-933-2484. So, Greg, you had recently spoke and you addressed this topic, and you were saying that the prevailing response from these men were, I feel like a failure and I barely started. I can't quite get there. And we were kind of talking about how both men and women maybe have an unrealistic picture of what spiritual leadership looks like, but it's going to look different in every home.
That was exactly right. So you had this look of, when you mentioned the word, the phrase spiritual leadership, this instant dropping of the shoulders and kind of looking away, looking down. We weren't even talking about anything and just had mentioned that. And so the more we unpack that, part of the problem is that no one knows how to define that. So it's a little ambiguous. We really, if we define it at all, it's based on what we saw growing up, or maybe we didn't see anything. So again, we don't know how to define it. That's why with these guys, one of the things that we talked about first and foremost is, what does that really mean? And I use that John Piper definition that spiritual leadership is, one, knowing where God wants people to be. Where does God want us to be? He wants us to love. So you were talking about that earlier, and something about that freed these guys. You saw life come back to them when we really talked. First and foremost, spiritual leadership is loving. Tell me how you love. Now we were talking about something. So you started hearing all these guys say, well, you know, I love my wife this way, or I love my family this way. That's spiritual leadership. Yeah, that right there. Yes,
love it.
And so I think, you know, when a man loves his wife, when he's faithful to her, when he's interested in talking to know her, to be known by her, when he's serving her, giving up what he wants to do what she wants, providing financially, protecting his family, resolving conflict in a way that honors the Lord. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That to me is spiritual leadership. And my problem was that I had this dad that I equated spiritual leadership as sitting down with her and walking her through a devo and making sure there were memories in scripture and all these things that are good, but that's not the entirety of what that really means.
You know, I've had Craig Groeschel on numerous times. He's an author and a pastor of big church, and his dear wife, he said they came to a real conclusion, kind of a light bulb moment, because she had this constant feeling, I want you to lead us in a Beth Moore Bible study. And he's like, okay, I love Beth Moore, but I ain't
know
doing
who
that. Right. He's like, I'm not doing that. He said, you can do that with your women, but you're expecting me to be a female leader, basically, of a woman's Bible study. He said, I'm a guy and I want to be treated like a guy. I provide for you. I love you. I pray for you. We're going to find our way in this. This is my paraphrase. But he said, you have to kind of get out of your head the expectation that it's going to look like you look in a woman's Bible study. And this is where I think we fall off the train as women, is we like, well, you don't play guitar because you should play guitar, and you should lead us in devotions and worship and go through a 3-point sermon. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And the expectation sets you up to fail.
Yes.
And so to focus on virtue, to do what you're saying as wives, I'm just speaking to the wives here, what Greg was saying about what virtue do you see in your husband? That's leadership. Is he kind? Is he patient? Is he gentle? That's leadership. So say more, Greg.
Well, I like that, because you could see the life returning back to these men when they realized that, wow, okay, so first and foremost, let's just cheat and use the greatest commandment. Susie, when we had our radio program together, we always started every show talking about, remember, our job is to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love others as we love ourselves. Just as that reminder, that's it. I mean, that's love. That's our destiny. So guys, how are we doing that? That's spiritual leadership first and foremost, is to really to understand, how am I loving her? Commitment, communicate. I mean, just all these things. And that gave, I think, them a different paradigm. And then the other place that we went that was really good was, and it wasn't my idea. I wish it was, because I had luck to brag about myself, but it wasn't. We talked about, you know, maybe so once I get a bigger vision of what does that mean to be a spiritual leadership, it's knowing where God wants people to be. So knowing where he wants my wife to be, my kids to be, is to love him, to love others. Okay, greatest commandment. Got it. Okay, that I can do. Then it was, all right, well, what if after this session, so I challenged these guys, let's go back. We'll have a break. Just take 2 minutes and ask your wife, when I'm leading you spiritually, what does that look like? How would I know? What would be the evidence that you feel that I am spiritually leading you? And the idea is to get at what, Susie, you were talking about, that everybody's going to be different. And every woman, every person has a little bit of different ways that they love to pursue the Lord and what's important to them, almost like a spiritual love language. It's really Gary Thomas, one of my very favorite book that he wrote, Gary Thomas, was The Sacred Pathways. And that changed my relationship with my wife in terms of our spiritual relationship, when we finally realized that we just have different ways that we love to connect with the Lord. It's my job then to uncover that. What does that look like for my wife?
Well, what I also loved in your notes is you challenged then the wife to say, what does it look like for me to encourage you to be the spiritual leader?
Yes.
Because it's not totally your job to live up to my expectations if some of my expectations aren't right, right? And so on the flip side, to say, what is it in me as a wife? What can I do to help you be the man of God that God is calling you? I think for this to thrive and for this to work, it's got to be a safe conversation. We've got to be willing to be wrong maybe about some of our unrealistic expectations, but then willing to say, but I could use more of this from you, because when you do this, it strengthens me, right?
And just how you said that was such a better way to approach that. Boy, when you do this, this is what that does for me, versus I hate that you're not doing this. And if you would only do that, it's a very different approach. Yeah, I think so you've got both sides. So for the man to realize that it begins with the greatest command, it begins with love. So that's what we're trying to help our family to do. So we're taking initiative in doing that. And then we're learning what's the unique ways that our wife or our kids really like to connect with the Lord. The more I know that, see, then I can help meet those needs as we are, you know, spiritually connecting. I think on the other side, just what you said, Susie, for the wife to really look at her expectations and just explore that. As much as the guy needs to understand the baggage that he's brought in terms of just feeling maybe incompetent spiritually or whatever the issue might be for him, for her, really looking at what are my expectations and starting from there, and then noticing what is it that my husband does really well? What does he do that I appreciate? What is he, and see that, equate that with him being a spiritual leader. See that? I think when she sees those things, boy, yeah, you're right. When he goes to work every day and he's working hard and really providing for us, yeah, that's him leading. When he's, you know, serving me. The other day I noticed that he gave up what he wanted to do for me. Oh, that's spiritual mm-hmm. leadership. I think when yeah. she can begin to equate those and really focus on those things.
And celebrate those things.
And celebrate those. Hey, you want to, yeah, the way to a man's heart is not through his tummy. You know, I tell you, it's through that yeah. praise. And when Aaron tells me, hey, you know what, boy, when you did that yesterday or when you did that today, thank you. Mm-hmm. That was huge. That made me feel this way. I'm like a stupid dog. You know, my tongue comes out and, you know, I'm like, can we go for a walk now? You know,
yeah.
can we go
run? Treat.
You know, you know, I think everyone will respond to praise
no.
that way.
Well,
but you
know,
you have to look for it. You've got to look for it. And that takes work, because it's easy to be frustrated, easy to be shut down. You've got to force yourself to look at it and then let them know what you're seeing.
Well, exactly. You know, and I told you I was sort of schooled by God when he was saying, don't equate passion with maturity, equate love with maturity. And then
God just
really convicted me. Start looking at the ways he loves. Because if you look at what scripture says, love is patient, kind, you know, it's faithful. It's not easily angered, not easily provoked, doesn't keep a record. I'm like, check, 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 check. And as I started to just celebrate the virtues, that was the next step. I really felt like, Lord's like, you want a spiritual leader? Celebrate the virtues you see right here, right now, that you enjoy in this marriage, that are benefits because you're married to that man. when I started to celebrate those virtues, he automatically just rose up and started to lead in ways that meant a lot to me versus nagging him or telling him, as you say, what he wasn't doing.
Yeah, you're operating out of a very different perspective. You're operating out of a strength mentality. And I really do think that works so much better. As I think about spiritual leadership, look at Christ. I mean, I know that's so cliche and, okay, sure, that's easy, fine. But really, I mean, analyze what he did. First and foremost, he lived out that greatest commandment. So he was pursuing God, pursuing a relationship with God. If I'm not doing that, I mean, come on. If I can't lead myself into a deeper relationship with the Lord, I might have a few challenges doing that for someone else.
And that, you know, let's just talk about that before the break, because the truth is there might be men who, because they're afraid of failure, they are abdicating leadership responsibilities. Maybe they're medicating. Maybe they're digging into their career to the point to the neglect of their family. What advice do you have for the guy whose wife really does have some legitimate complaints to say, but you are absent. You really, all you care about is your hobbies and your work. What do you say to him?
Well, what I would say to her, first of all, is you can't control him, change him. You can't get him to do these things. And so you have to make sure that you are pursuing your relationship with the Lord and growing and learning, that you are looking, actively looking for those other ways that he is actually loving you. And it may be hard to find, and it may be one thing. Fine. You focus on that. For that, you know, I think part of the problem is for that guy, a lot of times he's just not cluing in. Yeah, certainly women have a much better sense of how we are relationally, what's going on. You know, we ask them to rate the relationship consistently. Women will rate it probably more accurate than a man will. He might not even realize these things are going on. He may be in his mind, the way I can love my family best is to work and to serve them that way. Just, and that may get out of balance. I think that they can always have that conversation. I hope as men that I'm always trying to grow and to learn and to realize that marriage is just, you know, we're on this journey together, and today I'm not going to be where I'm at tomorrow or the next year or whatever. And so, but am I willing, am I brave enough to ask my wife, what is it like being married to me? I mean, if you're brave, ask that question.
I dare you. And wives, I dare you to ask the same question. What's it like to be married to me? When we come back, we're going to talk about disappointment in marriage. What do you do with disappointment, especially when the actions that disappoint you keep happening? Plus, Greg, we got a caller who called in and said, I don't love my wife anymore. And I'll unpack that a little more on the other side of the break. And he would love an answer from you as well. This is Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. So grateful to have my friend Dr. Greg Smalley on the air today, talking about all kinds of things, leadership, spiritual leadership in marriage. And we're going to talk about what do you do with your disappointments, because if you just let them stew, they will impact your marriage. More with Greg Smalley in just a moment. I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for tuning in today. Glad you're here. I've got Dr. Greg Smalley on the line. We're having a great conversation about marriage, about spiritual leadership specifically. We're moving the conversation now to how you deal with disappointment. But first, Greg, we received a call from a listener, and this is very sobering. He writes, I just don't love my wife anymore. There's nothing she can do to make me love her. And in fact, when she tries, it makes things worse. We've been married for over 20 years, and I just don't feel it anymore.
First and foremost, what I would say to him is that's an awful place to be, and that feels terrible. That's completely opposite, I imagine, of your expectations for your marriage, why you got married, was to feel all of that love and to live out a life together, to be best friends and have that passion and that intimacy. And that's a hard thing when you don't feel that. Can I, if actually saying is that my heart is closed to my wife, and thus a closed heart doesn't feel anything. And don't confuse the two, because one, I say that to be very clear that you can't generate love on your own. Love comes from God. God is love. I mean, this is important to understand. I'm not just saying this to fill up time. For you, understand, you don't control love. God is love. The design is that your heart is full of God's love, and then your heart is open to others, and it's His love flowing through you to others. That's that sensation of love. Understand, for whatever reason, right or wrong, good or bad, I don't know what's gone on within your relationship, your heart is closed, maybe even hardened towards her. The importance is that knowing that then allows you to work on what you need. Your job is not to figure out, I mean, when you said there's just nothing that she can do to make me feel that way, you're right. But what can happen, though, is when you work to get your heart back open, then that can change things. And so first and foremost, understand what's really going on here. This is not an issue of love. People don't fall in and out of love. Their hearts are either open and they're feeling the love, or it's closed up, hardened, and they don't. You control the state of your heart. For you to begin to analyze what has gone on that's shut my heart down. Maybe it has nothing to do with your wife. Maybe this is something else that's going on for you. Maybe it's something that's been happening that hadn't made you feel safe within the relationship. So whatever it is, that's what you're trying to figure out. Your job is to get your heart back open. When your heart is open, I'm telling you, God will do the rest. Those feelings follow when our hearts are open. Those feelings follow when we make a decision. Love is a decision. It really is not intended to be a feeling. All that stuff comes and flows out of an open heart. As you're being obedient, I would say to you too, as guy to guy, you know what? That no part of marriage did God say that His goal for you is to be happy, to be in love. His goal for you is to become more like Him. His goal for you within your marriage is Christ-likeness. It's not happiness. And maybe a part of how you can begin to handle your heart is to say, you know what? I want to be obedient to my God. I stood up at an altar and pledged to love her unconditionally for a lifetime, in the good times and the bad. And maybe part of what I need to do is just to, how am I serving her? How am I meeting her needs? How am I being curious and staying, asking her questions and learning about what's going on? I tell you what, as you do all that, as you're obedient, again, that all can help get your heart open, and those feelings will follow all that.
And it's so important to know, we have to even debunk the myth, that when your heart gets closed, you know, we know a series of things can happen that can cause that to happen, but we are, as Greg says, in charge of when we let that thing shut down. So the answer isn't another person. Even though if you were to meet another person and have this intoxicating experience, you feel like that's the answer, because I feel this, I don't feel it in my marriage, but it's just, that's short-lived. And then you've got the same baggage because you were the one, I have to say this so carefully, but you let your heart shut down. Where really studies have proven your best case scenario for marriage is with the person you're with. So people who come through the valley of suffering in marriage, and the valley where they just have lost their feelings completely, and they emerge so much stronger,
That's
don't
right.
they, Greg?
They really do. And it's easy for me to sit here and say to you, you know what, bro to bro, This is where you get to show the love of Christ, even when it just doesn't feel good. You don't feel the love. Maybe you're not getting anything in return. Maybe there's other things going on that I don't know about. But you know what? What does God want for your life? He wants faithfulness. He wants you to continue to love. And then, see, that's your choice. And I would so encourage you. You hang in there. You guys get the help that you need. I tell you, I promise you, as your heart begins to open up towards her and life begins to come back in your heart, you will sense those feelings again, because I imagine you had them before. You know, we don't usually walk into marriage unless we felt those things, but that was all because you had an open heart.
And Greg,
make that your goal.
And you've seen this before through all the intensives. You've seen people who are
thousands.
Flatlined and needed, you know, paddles basically, but it is possible. And for me, when my heart even just gets hard, I'm able to retrace my steps. If you're willing, and I think you ask that all the time, Greg, are you willing? Are you willing? But to get with the Lord and say, help me retrace my steps. When did I officially shut down? What happened? And untangle some of this with him, because he will help you get your heart back to a place where it's receptive again. It is possible. It is possible.
Amen. Mm. It is so possible. I mean, at the end of the day, God is in your corner. He's all about marriages. He's all about lifetime marriages. And he will help you through this as long as you don't allow your heart to grow so hardened. A hardened heart is the wrecking ball of a marriage. And that's what I hear going on here. So the good news is that can be something that you do between you and the Lord. You get your heart. As a matter of fact, Susie, I'd love, if at all possible, if he's listening right now, give us a call. And I would love to put into your hands a book that I wrote called Fight Your Way to a Better Marriage, because there's an entire chapter on what do I do when my heart is hardened.
Okay, so if you're listening, and I pray that you are, call this number, talk to Grace, and give your address, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. We just, with all our hearts, pray that you don't give up, because enemy would love for you to give up. But we are all cheering you on, because there are better days
right
ahead.
Amen.
Wow. We just have a couple minutes, Greg, before we pray. But I want to just ask you to say a word about disappointment in marriage, because, you know, you think about when you have an expectation, be it realistic or unrealistic, and it doesn't happen, that disappointment can kind of move you away from the divine appointment that I think God has in your marriage. You know what I'm saying? Where we can rehash our losses
right
and our disappointment to the point where it's destructive. Talk to the person listening maybe who just they're carrying around disappointments. What are you supposed to do with that so that your heart does stay an open and healthy place?
I like how you asked that, because it almost sounds like a sort of minor deal and kind of dealing with some disappointment. The challenge is, treat this as a very, very big deal. Two things can happen. When I experience disappointment, one, that's when the evil one jumps in and he is going after my mind. He wants me to believe that my wife is never going to change. This is always going to happen. It's not worth it. There's someone better out there. Just go ahead and leave. It'll all work out. I mean, he's the one that is attacking your mind. And that happens. You have to fight. That's the spiritual warfare that we have to fight against. When I feel constantly disappointed, typically then I develop negative beliefs. The problem with the negative belief is that it doesn't matter. Then what my spouse does, I will see them with this negative lens. Everything they do, I will see it in a way that whatever I believe about them, I will see that evidence that everything that they do. So part of what you're wanting to do is treat this as a big deal, because you don't want that disappointment to turn into negative beliefs. That is a huge red flag for a marriage. And then, see, it's the next step that we've sort of already talked about, so that once I get those negative beliefs, I am just setting myself up to have my heart really harden and know that is Solomon, King Solomon talked about that we are to guard the vineyards from these little foxes who want to come in. See, disappointment is like one of those little foxes. We need to take that serious. We need to move. And it's nothing our spouse needs to do. I want to go to the Lord and say, God, boy, I know there's negative beliefs fitting in. Lord, I don't want to do that. Lord, help me. Help me see my husband, my spouse, this person that I'm disappointed in, who keeps hurting me. How do you see him? How do you see her? Give me that vision. I'm telling you, God is so faithful if we take initiative, and that's what then guards from our heart really hardening.
Boy, Greg, that's just fantastic. When I think of disappointment, I also think of Jesus in John 15, where he says, I've appointed you. So we have an appointment. I've appointed you to bear much fruit, fruit that lasts. And the fruit comes from the vine, love, joy, peace. So
that's
also an opportunity in disappointment, is to say, Lord, I have an appointment here to bear fruit. What does that look like? And that's where I think we start to see kingdom dynamics at work. Well, it's so good to have you, Greg. And I just miss talking with you every day.
You're such
a good bud. Would you pray for that caller? I don't have a name, but the one who's just about ready to give up on his marriage. Would you pray for him?
God, I pray for a fully alive heart. Beyond marriage, God, your desire is that this man have such an open, alive, full heart. God, give that. We know that a marriage can flow from that. So, Lord, just heal his heart.
Jesus' name. Amen. Check out Greg's wonderful book, Fight Your Way to a Better Marriage, How Healthy Conflict Can Take You to Deeper Levels of Intimacy. Good friend, thanks for joining us, and we look forward to having you on, I think, next week.
That's right. Thanks for having me. Yes. Look forward to it.
God bless you and your sweet family.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of both hours up on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Be a radio missionary and share these programs with a friend, because there's so much great content, so many great guests like Greg and Chip that really can offer something to a friend in need. So go to our website. With a click of a button, you can send it out by Facebook, email, or Twitter. And you hear this from me every day. I'm going to keep saying it every day because it's true. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He is the one who keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.